when you're in Longville and you see the people react to seeing Bruno, to being around Bruno, they're like so excited. It's like they're seeing a celebrity. And I mean, I just remember being at the ice cream parlor at Frosty's in town and looking down at there's a little bench just down the street on the sidewalk. And Bruno comes strolling up, and there's like two people on it from, you know, not locals. And they're like, oh, Bruno, you know, and they're petting him, and he just wheels up and sits down on their feet. And I look at that and I'm like, it's crazy to me that this dog is recognized by people outside of our small little town, and not even our small little town, but outside of our state.
Our Americana is a weekly podcast that explores small town America and the stories that cultivate, challenge, and unite community. Join me each week as I head to a new small town and discover how community comes together and how it adapts, evolves, and overcomes when faced with the unexpected, the tragic, the hopeless, and the life-changing moments. Together we'll celebrate what unites us. I'm Josh Hallmark, and this is Our Americana.
Longville itself, the town, is real tiny. We've got in the last census, our population was 156.
I always refer to it, and most people do, as like you're kind of in the middle of nowhere, but we're not completely out of the middle of nowhere. We're about an hour from the normal city stuff, like fast food and a mall or anything like that. So it's kind of a pretty small area.
It's very, very seasonal. So the Longville area in the summertime can probably encompass up to 15,000 people. In the wintertime, that will fall to below 5,000.
A lot of amenities. People are quite shocked. You wouldn't think a town of 156 people would have an airport, two hardware stores, real estate offices, a zoo, a clinic, a library, grocery stores, clothing stores, quite a few little boutiques, a coffee shop for that matter, and no school now. You know, most communities that are lacking a school and have such a small seasonal population wouldn't be able to maintain what we have to offer.
So in the winter, there's only kind of virtually a handful of us that are here throughout the winter and actually make things work.
It's often the simple things that are the most extraordinary. I never intended to open the season with this story. It didn't feel profound enough for the times we've suddenly found ourselves in. In fact, for the first few months after I've heard this story, and the subsequent time spent creating this episode, I really had no idea why I was so compelled by it. But the more time I've sat with it, the more I've come to realize how important the story is, in both its simplicity and its profoundness. It goes to show that we can change the world around us in the greatest ways possible without ever even knowing it, just by being ourselves. And that when the world, the country, the community really needs something, the universe will conspire to make it happen. You just have to pay attention, because it won't always happen in the way you expect it to.
One of the things that has happened over the last 40 years, and especially more recently, the last 10 to 15 years, a lot of the resorts have sold out. They are no longer resorts. This used to be, you know, the playground, the heart of Minnesota Lakes Country, this North Cass County area. And a lot of the resorts started to sell out, especially either as the owners got older or as the linear foot of Lakeshore skyrocketed. People thought, well, we've got all this land with these cabins, why not sell them?
This is Tenley Lund. She works for the Longville Chamber of Commerce and has spent the majority of her time there creating events to bring more people into town and boost the economy.
It's a wonderful place to live. The quality of life is exceptional, but it's very select professions that can make a living living here because we're literally in the woods. I think that more people would do it if they could. Now, I've talked to people that actually grew up here, and it's really changed a lot. And there's a lot of attrition in these small towns. Some of it, I think, is because of people's mobility. There used to be a bowling alley. There used to be, you know, a car dealership and things like that. I think from that perspective, the population has changed to the more seasonal, you know, here in the summer at a lake home and gone in the winter. There aren't a lot of kids here. It's kind of hard for some of the businesses, you know, the restaurants, even the hospitality businesses, the resorts that are here, you know, they want to hire cabin cleaners. Those kind of entry-level jobs that usually high school kids fulfill or kids that are home from college for the summer, we're missing that stratum. We don't have a lot of teenagers. We don't have a lot of kids here because it's hard for a young family to make a living here.
And do you worry that that, over time, is going to impact the sustainability of the town?
I think Longville can survive, but it might have to change. It might have to evolve. It might have to change its focus a little. Well, like I said, the car dealership is gone. You know, the bowling alley's been gone for a long time. It's a struggle for some businesses. I think it's hard for some of the hospitality businesses because they're pretty labor intensive. If you're going to have a restaurant during a busy season, you've got to have a lot of wait staff and cooks and things like that. And I think especially in the shoulder seasons, the spring and the fall, I think it's hard sometimes for them to fill those positions. Because even if the kids do come home from college, they're not here until the first part of June, and they're gone before Labor Day. Well, if you're trying to stay open during the shoulder seasons, your help just left, or they're not here yet. So it's a challenge. I think one of the things, I know one of the things that the Chamber of Commerce has done with Longville is build up events. So that we have events throughout the summer, and our main season is June, July, and August. And we have events that bring people to town. And, of course, the iconic linchpin of all of that is the turtle races. And we do them every Wednesday downtown, close off Main Street, and thousands of people will come. What happens, there's a circle painted in the middle of Main Street, and you rent a turtle. Now, we've got turtle vendors who are local kids who bring the turtles in. They keep them during the summer. They take care of them. We've got DNR guidelines on how big the turtles have to be. You can't have any exotics. You can't bring any snapping turtles, that kind of thing. And so these kids bring the turtles in. So for $3, you can race your turtle. We have heats. It depends on how many people show up, because sometimes we've had 600 racers. That's not typical. Usually it's between, you know, 200 to 400. And the businesses sponsor coupons. You know, one of the main purposes is to bring people into town so they can patronize the businesses, to help the businesses, because it is a Chamber of Commerce event. But it also is a lot of fun, and it's been going on so long. People look forward to it. They come every year. You know, it really is amazing.
So I have to ask, you know, just based on all the hard work you've done to continue the sustainability of the town and create these events to bring people in, is a little insulting that what has now put Longville on the map is just this dog?
Oh, no. No, I think it's great. All kinds of people have heard about Longville that would never have heard of it. And they've actually come to the town.
Just around the bend. That's from where the best characters come.
But it's just been his routine for as far back as I know.
Ears up, tongue down.
There's a big to-do here.
A wolf of a dog makes his four-mile commute from Lake Country.
Everybody knows Bruno.
To town.
You may not know the people, but you'll know Bruno.
Sharon Rouse has been watching this through that open corner she's left in the real estate listings.
He'll be walking this way across the street, he'll be walking that way across the street. He just literally wanders around town.
A wanderer who starts his rounds strategically behind the deli door.
He waits.
At Tabaka's grocery store.
Here you go, boy.
Oh, he's just always here.
Here, unless Bruno is there. City Hall.
Laying down.
Frosty's ice cream.
Regular trips.
On his way to the one stop.
I think he just likes people.
I actually just moved up here and it was like one of the first things I heard of. Because I had to stop my car for him to cross the street. He's just the town dog.
The town dog who wandered into their lives 12 years ago.
You know, I don't even understand what it is about Bruno. I mean, I understand when we're at an event and Bruno shows up like he always does, and especially the little kids. Little kids will go. The adults can be a little cautious because he's big and he's brown and he's kind of scruffy looking. And I mean, he's definitely not a show dog, and he's kind of got a loppy ear and whatever. But you know, I do not understand the appeal. He'll lay in the middle of the gas station when it's really, really busy on a summer day, or he'll lay in the middle of the road, which, oh, by the way, is a highway. But you're downtown, and people are going slowly, and everybody goes around him, or somebody will go out there and kind of gently nudge him off. Everybody takes care of him, but what this appeal is, I don't know. I mean, I understand he's a nice dog, and people like nice dogs. But, I mean, I've gotten calls through the chamber from Europe. We had people fly up. A couple flew. They called the chamber from South Florida. They had seen the video, and they literally flew to the cities and drove up here, which is in, I think we're probably 4 hours from the cities, drove up here, spent the afternoon following this scruffy dog around, you know, feeding him all kinds of things, and then drove back to the cities and flew back to Florida. It's amazing. You know, I had a book club call a lady from somewhere in Wisconsin, and she wanted to know where they could send money so that the owners would buy Bruno some supplements because he looks old. Well, he is old. You know, and he limps. He doesn't really limp, but you know how old dogs, especially larger, they'll get kind of stiff, and so he's got that funny old dog gait. But, I mean, good grief, everywhere he goes, people feed him, they give him water, people will drive him home, you know, and especially the people that live around here, everybody knows him. So what this incredible explosion of popularity is, I don't know yet. You know, I haven't figured it out. He's got a statue, and that's been there. This is probably the second or maybe the third year. Yeah, he's got a statue in a little garden on Main Street, and he's had a Facebook page for I don't know how long. I didn't even know that was there until all this other stuff started.
Well, it's and funny. I'm a member of that Facebook page.
And oh, are you?
Yeah, I have.
I am recently, so.
I have to tell you, I am shocked, but because you know, you hit the nail right on the head for me, which is it's really ridiculous. When I first heard the story, I immediately thought, okay, I have to do an episode on this. But then the more I talked about it and like actually had conversations, I was like, I don't understand what is so compelling about this story. It's just ridiculous. And yet, it's totally compelling. And I look at that Facebook page and there, most of the posts on it are from out-of-towners who went to Longville specifically to visit Bruno.
Yes. We had an event in the middle of September. It's our annual Oktoberfest. And I was talking to some of the volunteers after that weekend, And they said the town was full. It was one of our best events. But the most asked question was, where is Bruno? And I mean, we've got this event with all these things going on. And all these people are up here looking for Bruno. And he showed up, of course. But you never know where he is. I mean, even if he's in town, you don't know where he is. So it's what the appeal of that is. I have no idea. But it touched something in people. Well, I just finished putting together the 2017 destination guide, and I actually put Bruno in it. He's never been mentioned in the destination guide before, but now he's got a little paragraph and a picture. So
I think Ambassador is such a suiting title for him because he really has become the voice of Longville.
It's one of those quirky things about Longville. It's one of the reasons that it's just fun to live here because you never know. You know, you just never know what's going to come around the bend next. And Bruno, it's very fitting. I mean, it was a few years ago, but he's been Grand Marshal of the 4th of July parade and that kind of thing. So he's been kind of a local celebrity anyway. But this story that the Twin Cities guys put together has just now, it's gone viral. I mean, it's amazing. Well, you know what's really funny? The couple that owns Bruno, and they've had him all these years, their son, Levi LaValle, has been a winner of gold medals in the XX Winter Games for years. He's a broadcaster now. He's set all kinds of world records. I mean, he really is a superstar, and he's famous, and he's very successful. He does the snowcross racing. He's got his own team. He's done a lot of I don't even know what the terminology is, but he has over the years competed very successfully in several snowmobile events in the Winter X Games. And yet, with one story on a Twin Cities station on his parents' dog, Bruno has catapulted past him in fame. It's just funny. And of course he's cool with it. He just, he just laughs about it, but it's like, well, Levi, how does it feel? You know, you've been eclipsed by your folks' dog.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Bruno, he's a pretty big deal.
After talking with Tenley, I decided to check in with Levi to see how he felt about the family dog's growing fame.
You know, the cool thing about Longville is, you know, I started racing snowmobiles and doing all that as a kid. And in a small town, you pretty much know what's going on. Everyone knew that I was racing, and that was kind of our gig. And for me, as we started having more and more success, and we started having success at X Games and these different things, all the people around town were so supportive of it. You know, it was a really cool feeling for me, and just to have that level of support. You know, I mean, like in 2008, when we won two gold medals in male athlete of the X Games, I came back and the town threw me a surprise party, and the mayor at that time announced January 31st was Levi LaValle Day, and you know, they did all these different things, and that, you know, it really showed me how cool of a place I live. That was pretty special to me.
How does that make you feel?
Oh, it makes me feel great. You know, it's great just because, you know, like I said, when you're in a town of 156 people, you pretty much know everyone. And that's what's cool is, like, everyone gets along, everyone knows what's going on, and to have everyone supporting something that's so foreign, being a professional snowmobiler, it's like, well, it's so outside of everyone's wheelhouse. They could easily just like, oh, what is he doing? Why is he doing that? But everyone's been so supportive, and the town has really embraced that. And that's been a really cool thing for me, just knowing that the town is on my side in regards to what I'm doing and how I present myself to the world, I guess, through snowmobiling.
So I have to ask, only because I've never had the opportunity to talk to someone who has their own day. What do you do to celebrate Levi LaValle Day?
My thing is, you know, they gave me my own day, and then I said, okay, so on my own day, I just want everyone to it's easy for everyone to do is just when they get in their car or they get on their snowmobile or whatever it is, just rev the throttle wide open for a split second. And that's all it is. So it brings in my outlook on life. Just hold it wide open, go for it and go big. So that's their little moment to hold it wide open and give it.
And do you try to go out and about and say hello to people on that day, or do you keep a low profile?
Most times we're actually on the road, but you know, it's always fun. We always post stuff on our social media and just high five to everyone that's like excited about it and stuff. So it's pretty cool. It's a cool thing for us to have that moment in our small little town.
So tell me about Bruno.
Bruno, he is a legend. that dog is, he's awesome. Thinking about the early years, you know, when my parents first got Bruno, I mean, he was just a puppy, and I couldn't stand him at first. You know, he would take my shoes and run off in the yard with them and chew on them and do that type of stuff. So I was like, come on, man, what are you doing? But as time went on, you realize that he was a special dog, and he was just so polite to everyone. And I think just the manner that he goes about things, he's just always kind of like relaxed. It just seems like he's enjoying life. And that's one thing I always look at Bruno, and I think there's so much to be learned from that dog. Is like he just enjoys life, he enjoys people, and I mean, and that shows with him running 4 miles or 5 miles or whatever he does every day to town to see those people. And after you see him a few times, he just brings a smile to your face when he comes.
So, do you know how these daily treks started?
It started all from my dad. You know, my dad was a garbage man, and he would leave every morning at 8 o'clock. And when he would leave, Bruno would take off and start following him. And, you know, that started at first. And then right away, my mom was like, hey, we got to keep Bruno here. You know, he's running the town. He's doing this stuff. I remember my dad saying, you know what? He's like, I'm not chaining him up. Can you imagine being chained up all day? That'd be terrible. He's like, I'm not chaining him up. So he never did, and somehow, some way, Bruno found a way to avoid all the traffic, all the different things for all these years running to town. And I mean, he's got his little system. He runs right down the edge of the road, right on the line, and he doesn't veer from it. He kind of keeps an eye on what's going on around him, and it's been amazing that he's been able to do that for so many years and avoid the traffic and stuff. And don't get me wrong, he's blocked traffic multiple times, but he kind of goes about it like in this like leisure little stroll out onto the road, so you can see him from a distance. So by the time you like get to him, you're idling and almost stop. It's funny to kind of think it's like he doesn't have a care in the world.
When I was talking to Tenley, she was saying, you know, that Longville's kind of been struggling to find its economic identity. And that's why the Chamber of Commerce has been really pushing to create and host a lot of events during the summer. And now that Bruno's kind of become famous, she said that a lot of people are coming to town just to see Bruno, and that it's actually making an impact on the economy. How does that feel?
That's pretty cool. You know, the funny story was my dad told me this fall. He said he was in town, and there are these two women came, and they're like, hey, are you Bruno's dad? And dad said, well, I'm not Bruno's dad. I'm his owner, but you know, not his dad. And they're like, oh, well, do you know where he is? And he's like, yeah, I think I saw him on the other side of town. So dad went looking for him with these girls, and they went over and they got some pictures with Bruno and whatnot. And they're like, well, thank you very much. We're heading back to the cities now. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, we drove up here just in hopes to take a picture with Bruno. Now we're going to go home now. I'm like, oh, wow. So, you know, a 3-hour drive up just to take a picture with Bruno and then go back. So I thought that was pretty funny.
How does it feel to have, I mean, your dog is the ambassador of the town and has a statue. Like, is it surreal or is it funny? Like, how do you respond to that?
Oh, it is. It's like super funny. You know, to have my parents' dog have a statue in town, it's so random. But when you're in Longville, and you see the people react to seeing Bruno, to being around Bruno, they're like so excited. It's like they're seeing a celebrity. And I mean, I just remember being at the ice cream parlor at Frosty's in town and looking down at there's a little bench just down the street on the sidewalk. And Bruno comes strolling up, and there's like two people on it from, you know, not locals. And they're like, oh, Bruno, you know, and they're petting him, and he just wheels up and sits down on their feet. And I look at that, and I'm like, it's crazy to me that this dog is recognized by people outside of our small little town, and not even our small little town, but outside of our state. I heard from one of my fellow racers this past week, and he's from Idaho. And he said, yeah, so there I was listening to the radio, and they're talking about this dog from Longville, Minnesota. And he's like, you know, he knew I was from Longville, and he's like, well, that's got to be something to do with Levi. So he called me, and I'm like, yep, that's my dad's dog. And he's like, that's unreal, man. They're talking about out here. It's pretty cool to hear how far the Bruno story has gone.
Is it bizarre to be going about your business in town and just casually run into the family dog like you would a friend?
So, well, the funny thing is, like, majority of the people think Bruno's my dog, okay? So everyone's like, oh, I saw your dog over there. And at first it was like, you know, go get him and bring him home. That's kind of the feeling you get at first. Well, now it's like, now people like say, oh, I saw Bruno. He's over on the other side of town with a group of people taking pictures or something, you know? And you're like, you know, I used to like bring him back to my parents and stuff, but now it's like, you know, I don't even think, I'm like, well, he's probably enjoying what he's doing more than being at home anyway. So I'm just going to leave him there. And when I see him in town too, I'll pet him and I'll be like, well, you know, enjoy the rest of the day, Bruno. And I leave. And it still feels weird to me not to be like, all right, I'll bring him home. But it's like, that's kind of like town is kind of his home too.
I moved up here for love about, well, it'll be 20 years ago on Friday. And my ex and I used to have a bar. And we'd been kind of looking at the little coffee shop. And when I moved up here initially, that was one of my hard things for leaving the cities. I couldn't imagine surviving without my local Starbucks. It's like, you're bringing me to where? The closest one, I think, was 45 minutes away.
That sounds like
And then
torture.
Someone else must have been thinking the same thing, and they turned what had been my old hair salon into a coffee shop. And that was back in 97. And the woman who started it decided she really liked being a mom and a wife more than she liked being a shopkeeper. And my ex and I, we were still together at that time, we kind of looked at it, and it's like, no, we don't have enough time to be running two businesses. So, well, then we have ultimately sold our bar and split up.
This is Stephanie Asserud. Her love of coffee in a coffeeless town created what would become a cornerstone in the Longville community.
And I must have been here a little too often, because the manager who was here at the time looked at me one day and she says, well, I put you on the schedule. I'm like, okay, I guess it's time for me to go back to work. And that was, I suppose, about 2005. And I took over the shop in 2010. I say one thing about it that makes us unique here, I will say all of us have many, many hats. Not my only job. You're also going to see me waitressing tables at one of the restaurants in town, or you're going to see me volunteering for the Chamber of Commerce, or a couple other little part-time jobs that are, you know, real seasonal. So that is a lot of our business community. We do many different things, not just the business that we're identified with.
I love that. It kind of sounds like a sitcom almost.
Well, yeah, some days, you know, every small town thinks that they're the only one that, yeah, if you wrote it, people wouldn't believe it. But, you know, who would believe that about what this dog has done to our community? So, Bruno, you know, we all half love him, half are irritated by him, to be honest, because he's inevitably in your way when you need to go somewhere. And he's been coming to town, as I guess, as long as I can really remember. I got to know Bruno personally. I used to waitress a lot of nights a week, and he's on my travels home, so I was his driver many nights a week. leaving town until he angered me one day. I went and dropped him off at home, and I'd forgotten something, and I came back to town, and who was already back in town? That darn dog. So it's like, no more rides home at night for you if you're not going to stay put. And he's just here a little. If there's an event going on, it's like he's got radar and knows. And if you see throngs of people, they are stooped over petting him, taking their picture. Not everybody understands Bruno. I recall years ago now, he was following one family. They had children, and I overheard the mom talking, and she's like, just ignore him. If you don't look at him, he'll stop following us. You know, it's just like, okay, Bruno, you know, these people don't understand you. You got to come over here, because they were a little afraid. But we've had other people, you know, they think he's everyone's dog. So they'll come into not just my shop, but, you know, many different businesses where he's might have camped out for the day. And it's like, oh, what a nice dog you have there. And it's like, no, he's not my dog. Or he'll want to follow people, you know. It's just like, well, we always joke, you know, if he gets in your car, he knows where he lives. So it's like he'll tell you when to stop. And he does. He knows when he's reached his house. He'd kind of perk up, and it's just like, well, versus just sitting in the car seat.
And when did you notice that Bruno's daily walks were starting to impact tourism?
I think it really impacted the tourism with Boyd's story, where it just blew up. He was one of the featured stories for the Land of 10,000 Lakes. And then, I mean, I've met people from Florida who've come to see him.
Yeah, I was talking to someone from the Chamber of Commerce, and she said that she met some people from the Netherlands who were there because of him.
Yeah. Yeah. So we also, and I'm not sure how long ago this was now, we had a gal, and I don't believe she was from this community. I think she was one from a neighboring community, but knew Bruno and went and raised the funds and had a statue carved of him. And this statue actually has its own little bank account for maintenance. And I think that probably is really this dog is no longer just a dog. He's getting famous. And the family itself, he's got a famous human brother, I'd like to say. So, yeah, the statue probably added a little more cachet to it, because that's another one, too. It's covered up for the season now. And you don't look at things, you know, and you see them every day. But I had some people come from out of town like a week or two ago, and how sure enough, yeah, his statue was covered up for the season. So, okay, I'm glad somebody's in charge of taking care of it so that the elements don't get to it, but, yeah.
Have you, visibly noticed an increase in the media there? And how strange is that?
I don't know that I would say media. It's whether it's someone coming from Florida or if they're just taking a day trip from a couple towns over. But the phone calls I have received since this story went live or viral have been amazing. People wondering. I had one woman wanting his phone number. I'm like, are you really thinking you're going to talk to a dog? No, I will not be giving you his phone number. Can you hold him? Because I'm coming from a few hours away, and, you know, I want... Well, he's a dog. No, I can't hold him down. It just kind of shocks me that people are coming all this way to see a dog. Like I said, he's just everybody's buddy, though. He's just, you know, he's out scrounging for his food fix here, there, and everywhere. I've got a spot where he likes to bury a lot of his food he collects in my backyard here at the shop, so I can usually see him back there digging with whatever offering he might have gotten from the meat department.
Would you say that you've seen personally a visible increase in economy since the word has gotten out?
For me personally, yes, I've definitely noticed. I can't speak that it's all Bruno, and I can't speak for other businesses, but there's definitely, I've seen a lot of new faces this off season, more so than, you know, after Labor Day, you know, or the fall tourism, I should say, the resort season ends. You know, we kind of, you know who's walking through every door at what time of day. We all kind of have our routines, and I've definitely seen more strangers.
Do you have a favorite Bruno story?
Oh, probably the one where he was, well, the woman wanting to talk to him was honestly my favorite story because I was just so shocked. But my favorite was, yeah, the people who thought he was my dog, and it's just like, you know, because he was with them, I bet, for 4 hours. They had a pet of their own. They had their children. They were... If you haven't been to Longville, I got a very picturesque little backyard at my shop. It's very family friendly, you know, yard games and whatnot. So they'd been hanging out there for hours outside, and they were ready to leave. And yeah, he was going with them. You know, he wasn't done with them yet. And they're like, "Do you want to come get your dog? He's trying to go with us." And I'm like, "Well," I said, "you know, if he jumps in the car," I said, "he knows where he lives. Just drop him off." And like, finally, I'm like, "He's not my dog." But I said, "I'll get him so that you can leave." And you know, I think they were so amazed that this random dog was just hanging out with them for literally 4 to 6 hours.
You are literally the third person to say that exact line to me, which is, he knows where he lives. He'll let you know when he's home.
Yep.
Does he? How does this work?
So, yeah, no, he does. I was always afraid. One day I was bringing him home and I needed to go to my own house. And I'm like, "Oh God, I don't want him to know where I live." You know, so I dropped him off, detoured and took another way because I live close enough to him. I don't want him to follow me. And I knew it was still early enough in the day that he was going to be running again. He wasn't going to just go straight to the house.
And so when you're driving past his house, does he just start barking?
No, he doesn't. He's not a barker. Okay. Just kind of, you know, will look at you like, you know, "Dummy, stop." So now there's, you know, there are those odd days where, okay, he knows he's home, but he doesn't necessarily want to get out either. He might want to go for more of a ride, but.
Do you think, I mean, this, I guess, joint facilitated care for Bruno has brought what is already a close-knit community closer together?
You know, honestly, I think it just gives us another fun little factoid of our town. You know, I guess that's, we look at the humor in it. We've all got the commonality of him. He's impacted all of us in some way, whether we've had to swerve on the road or watch the poor frightened person who's afraid he's going to get hit, trying to get him off the road. You know, we'll just yell at him, you know. I've watched people absolutely stop their cars trying to coax him away. Worried about him, and it's like, he's fine.
So you have your own day, and your family dog has a political title and a statue. Is that a lot of pressure for the LaValle family?
Oh man, I guess. No, it's pretty neat that we've been able to have an impact on this town like that. You know, it's the biggest thing, like, for me is I really think if you go past the obvious of Bruno running 4 miles to town every day and whatnot, and you really look into, like, what he's about, and I really think there's a lot that can be learned from that dog. And, you know, just being friendly to people, kind to people, and taking care of them and being happy, enjoying life. And that's what I always think of when I see Bruno. You know, everyone's scrambling and got busy, super busy lives, and we're all doing all these different things. And like Bruno just kind of like, he just always reminds me just to take a deep breath and enjoy it, you know, because this is pretty, we're pretty lucky for what we have, and be kind to people and they'll be kind to you.
Thank you everyone for continuing to share this journey with me. This season, we're sharing more stories, having more conversations, and remembering that Americans are more than just red versus blue, conservative versus liberal, or divided. We're a community, and community always comes together in times of need. Now more than ever, this podcast and all of you continue to inspire and fulfill me. I'm committed to continue sharing these amazing stories and growing and improving because I appreciate all of you so much. It's important to me to give you the best show that I can. With your help, I can do it better. If you can, stop by Patreon or PayPal and sponsor the show. Every dollar of support is appreciated for both its financial and emotional value. But also know, there is no expectation for financial support. If you're not in a position to sponsor the show, that's fine. Rate it 5 stars on iTunes or follow it on social media. Engagement is just as helpful and appreciated. Togetherness is so important right now, and I really do consider all of us in this show together. and I promise I'll keep delivering my best until I simply cannot afford to anymore. It is, after all, our Americana. Remember to head to ouramericanapodcast.com for photos of Longville, Bruno, and exclusive soundbites from my conversations with Levi, Tenley, and Stephanie. And in the spirit of today's episode, I wanted to take a minute to highlight a friend of the show, the Varmints Podcast. Varmints is the levity we all need in our lives right now. It's like an entire podcast devoted to adorable animals and their antics. Here's a clip from their recent episode about otters.
Otters like to keep things organized within their communities, and so they keep things clean, and they'll designate certain areas to be used as latrines. And then these latrines wind up being the social center for a lot of male otters. So when the males are together, they play and groom each other, and then before they drop a load, they do what researchers describe as the poop dance.
Nice.
They set up video cameras near these latrines, and then the male otters will wave their... One male otter will start waving his butt around and then stepping from one hind foot to the other. Hang on for a minute. Hang on. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, excuse me, that felt good. Now, it isn't really clear why the otters do that poop dance, but it does seem to have a domino effect. And if you yawned just now because I yawned... You know how a pooping otter feels.
They have the same effect.
It has the same effect.
Otter empathy. Yeah. Otter empathy is their poo dance.
When one otter does a poop dance, it triggers other otters to do it, and it's like a little group of four or five otters that are all basically twerking.
do the ladies do it or just the boys?
It looks like it's just the boys, but the ladies might do it too. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's more of a social behavior amongst male otters.
Well, there you go. No different than human men, then.
You can find Varmints on iTunes and everywhere else you get your podcasts. It's brought to you by the Blazing Caribou Network, where you can find a handful of other great shows, including Trivia Geeks, which I'll be appearing on in the coming weeks.
Up late, you know it's gonna be great. Going out with the stars and the dead end streets and the empty parking lots. Pick me up late, you know it's gonna be great. We're going out with the stars and the dead end streets and the empty parking lots. Why are